Welcome, adventurers. Put down that grog of mead. Pull that arrow out of your knee, because it is time for us to talk Skyrim. I'm Jake Bentley. As always, I have never gone by any other name, no matter what the government tells you. With me, as always, is Jesse Manamite, and we have Dean Anziano back this week. How are you guys doing?
Hi, how are ya?
I used to be an adventurer like you, and then I took an arrow in the knee.
You know, that seems like a pretty, like, it's almost insulting. They're like, I used to be like, you know how many arrows to the knee your character takes in the game?
Seriously. Yeah. I've had that said to me while I have an arrow in my knee.
Like my character's walking around with the arrow through his fucking head, and they're like, yeah. I used to be exactly like you, but that dang arrow to my ACL is what killed it for me.
Tore my ACL and my MCL. Was out for a year. The recruit wouldn't let me back on. Yeah, it's funny when you're playing that game and, like, you get in a fight and you're just running for those 30 seconds and you have an arrow going directly through your skull and your guy's just like, do-do-do-do. and eventually it disappears, but...
You know, it's funny to me, too, that, like, taking an arrow to the knee disqualifies you from, like, searching random caves, but you're perfectly fit for, like, guard duty to stop, you know, thieves and robbers and murderers.
Giant boulders, like, from the first battle, when if you stay with the Imperials, how they shoot those, like, I forget what they're called. It was like a big slingshot, almost. Like
Trebuchet?
Yeah, yep. Yep.
I always wondered how to pronounce
that. I always thought that when he said that adventure to
it's
the...
It's actually pronounced Trunkeldorf.
I believe it. I like
knew
it.
It. I knew it. Sound it out. I always thought the... Oh, I forgot now. Oh, yeah. I always thought when he said taking an arrow to the knee, I always thought that meant he got married or something like that.
Back in the day. Like it's an old-timey expression. Like...
Yeah.
I used to go out adventuring, but the old arrow in the knee keeps me on.
I don't know why I thought that was logical.
Honestly, I like that better.
Yeah. I always thought of it like I got married, wife wouldn't let him go out anymore, so now he's subject to guard duty.
Sorry, Ralph, can't hang out, the old arrow in the knee.
It's Cupid's arrow, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Good one. Yeah.
Makes sense now, right?
I don't know. If I'm Cupid, I'm not aiming for knees.
Well, would Cupid exist in such a fantasy world?
I mean, dragons exist? So,
yeah.
I mean, ghosts are there.
We'd have to do some research.
Zombies. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily... I'm not going to advocate for Cupid being there, but I don't think you can say it's out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
That was the first game I ever got a platinum on for PS4 trophies. And I remember it took me like a whole 6 months to finish the Thieves Guild. You have to restore the Thieves Guild. And it's a numbers job, ledger job, and then like something else. And I literally like... The last row of my list is like 150 of those. I swear to God, it was the most ridiculous thing I've ever done in my life. It's like, go change a ledger, then run back, and then pick the same mission and do it again. And then when I got that trophy, I just remember I like shut the game off and didn't play it for a couple of years. But they will release it until like 2050 for whatever. Like
so
PS5, Skyrim.
I've played the ever-loving shit out of Skyrim. Yeah. Like, Skyrim came out in 2011. I was in line to pick it up the midnight release, the day before the pre-order. And the last time I played it was probably a few months ago. And I have never restored the Thieves Guild to it.
It's horrible.
Right, because I'm like, fuck that. Not worth it.
No.
You know what's funny is when I first, when it first came out... I had gotten some money and I got a new computer and I wanted a game. And I didn't know what it was. And if you look at the cover, it doesn't really give you much. Especially the original cover. There wasn't really anything on it but the name.
Yeah, if you're not familiar with the Elder Scrolls like series, you would have no idea what you're getting into.
Exactly, and I wasn't at the time. So I just went out on a whim and I paid, I think it was like $60 for it. And I fell in love with it. It was like one of my all-time favorite games.
Same
but
thing
I thought it was
happened to
super
me.
Cool that it was like something I never heard of and then just tried it out and it was so fantastic. And it's become such a big game too in gaming. You know what I mean?
So like, it's funny because when I was in high school, I was kind of that person who was friends with everybody.
Yeah.
But my best friend was like the D&D nerd.
Shout out to Josh, who definitely does not listen because I haven't told him about this podcast. Not because I haven't, just hasn't come up. Yeah. But it's on my to-do list now. So, like, tomorrow I'm going to wake up, I'm going to shower, and then I'm going to text Josh, be like, hey, by the way, I have a podcast. Listen to it, bitch. So he was all, like, pumped up and excited about Oblivion, and he played through Oblivion, and he was like, oh, I want to tell you about the ending of Oblivion so badly. And I was like, tell me about the ending. I'm not going to play this shitty game ever, so just ruin it for me. And I let him ruin it for me. And we happen to have another friend who complete shut-in. Like, does not leave his house for any reason whatsoever. For work. He leaves for work. But aside from that, he does not leave his house. And so I would go and I would hang out with him in high school, and it was basically like he would sit at his desk playing World of Warcraft, and I would just be on his bed playing, you know, Xbox, and like we never talked to each other. We just played games in vicinity. It was the perfect friendship. Yeah. And I miss it.
I
miss it so much. But so he would play World of Warcraft, and he had Oblivion, and I was like, well, Josh talks this thing up, why don't I give it a shot? Loved it. Fell in love with the game. By the time Skyrim, you know, came out, I was like I said, I was in line, you know, midnight beforehand picking up that pre-order. I was in San Diego, I remember.
Oh, wow.
And I was living out there, and I was in line at GameStop. And I remember it was the last time I actually stood in line to pick up a game. And there was this random box of donuts someone had just, like, left on the pavement. And everyone kept daring everyone to eat a donut out of it. And everyone was like, ew, no, I'm not. So I was like, I'm going to go make some friends right now. So I just went and grabbed one out of it and started eating it in the line.
That's amazing. I remember I got that game. I went to the mall because I saw a bunch of people on my PS3 at the time. I'd been probably getting back into games for like a year. And I was never an RPG guy. Like, I just wasn't attracted to them at that time. And I remember I picked up the game and I was meeting somebody in the parking lot for an undisclosed reason. And he was like, remember, he came up to the window, he goes, oh, you got Skyrim. And I'm like, yeah, why? He looks at my now wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, and he goes, better get another TV. And we all just laughed or whatever. And I remember I got home, and I started, like, the first hour, and I played, like, all the way till 4 in the morning. I was completely hooked. I was more of like a, like, I picked the Nord off the start. I like to use swords and all that stuff. I mean, I used a lot of
healing.
That's
a great way to go. All right, so yeah. So you went with a Nord. Tell us about, like, the first character.
The first character, he had, of course, I'm an idiot at the time. I gave him bloodshot eyes. I remember he had, like, long blonde hair, and he was, like, I tried to make him as close to the, like, actual warrior or whatever, Viking or whatever, as you could. So he was normal.
Did you go dual wielding, two-handed?
Yeah, so okay. I went dual wielding because it was really hard at first. Like, because this was like new territory. I'd never heard of Oblivion or anything, sadly. So yeah, I dual wielded, and most of the time I would like have healing in one and then like a, you know, dagger in the other, whatever. Like, I got the mace of Moloch, whatever it's called.
Moloch Ball?
Yeah, I can never get that right. I had that with the healing, like, right off
okay,
the bat.
Okay, yeah.
And then after that, I did a couple companion quests and got the Axe of Wuthrod.
Wuthrod.
And I stuck with that for a long time. And then, yeah.
Is it, like, so I don't know how many times you guys have played through this game.
Four?
I think I've done three.
Okay, so imagine how many times you've played Metal Gear Solid. Yeah. That is how many times I've played Sky.
That's amazing, yeah. That's
and,
so good.
And so, I'd like, it's you, like you're saying, you know, the you know, Mace of Moloch Ball, I know the exact quest and where it is to get it. You know, I know where the Wuthrod Axe is. I know the things they give you. So that's, this one's... what about you, Dean? What was your first game? Do you remember your character's name, actually, before we go to Dean?
It was boring. It was Sir Miz.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just after my last name, my nickname people called me at the time. And then I named my next character Gunther. Because I was all like, you know. But and then the other ones, I think I just stuck with either or. I don't know what my name is on the new one, because I got the VR, too.
Okay, yeah.
I started playing that again. But I can only play that for like an hour at a time.
Because otherwise, like your brain seeps out of your ears and you die.
Yeah, and I get like nauseous because I can't hit anybody in that damn game. It's hard to play with the move sticks.
I've played it on the VR once. My brother-in-law has it. I can't do it on the move. Yeah. Like I needed to play it controller. Yeah.
Me too. It's weird. You have to like look in the direction and then turn with it. Like I can't even explain it.
Yeah.
That's how confusing it is.
You look with it and turn the stick to angle the camera, too. Like, you're not even angling the camera. You're angling, like, your body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like to walk, too. It had, like, at first I was bummed, but then I went into the options to fix it. But they have, like, a point-to-point system in there.
Yeah.
To, like, oh, hit whatever to get here. Hit the button to get here. And I'm like, I don't like this. And then once I fixed it, I was able to run. And then I'm just like, screw it. I'm not taking the time to learn this control scheme. I had the controller, and then it was much better from there. It's just like, that healing was so important in that first one, because I was getting worked. On normal, that's not, it's not normal. It's not, for me at the time. Now it's like, easy, I know what to do, you know?
Right, you have some time, familiarity with the game, you know?
That first trip to Bleak's Fall Barrow, man, was like...
Okay.
But yeah, your first one, yeah, I have what a was suspicion yours? It has to be
I don't know
Bo.
If I pronounce it right.
Okay.
Khajiit?
Yes.
That is? Okay. Because I'm lazy with like wares. Pronunciation and stuff like that. I'm like, I know what the idea of it, I don't need to know the pronunciation. I get lazy.
It's Khajiit.
So that's what I chose. I don't remember the name, but I focused on archery and sneaking. And when I had to do close combat, I had a dagger and one hand for healing.
I've seen that dude hit crazy.
And
shots.
I remember in the first game I played, I had no idea what I was doing, but I think I got lucky and picked some good choices with my stats, because I got to a point, I want to say I was only in level 30s, but I got to a point where I was sneaking up on trolls and just taking them down with one swipe with the dagger. Because you could do all the damage boosts in your stats with sneaking and all that.
Right, yes. Yeah, so you get...
I focused on all that and archery.
You get x3 with a bow, but if you go the dagger routes, you actually get x6.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
But I mainly focused on archery, though. I don't know if he remembers, but one time I was playing at his house on an old PC that I had, and I was running backwards through a cave as somebody was chasing me and just flinging arrows at him, and I hit him 3 times in the same eye.
I know, I was there, awesome. And you showed it to me.
You do remember that?
We call that...
Out. Oh, you were in my room.
I was so excited. Yeah.
We call that move the Indonesian Pop-Tart.
Oh, really? Why do I but always I was, say I was, that? I'm like, oh, really?
I was so like, excited. No. I'm a huge fan of bow and arrow in games. And I think Skyrim, it was amazing.
It was to the point of being completely broken. Like, you could house anything. The entire game was kind of completely broken. My first character was an orc. I decided, like, I was like, I'm making an orc. Sick. I named him Orc Lesnar.
Oh, man.
And he was definitely a dual-wielding, like, fucking barbarian kind of thing. And it was kind of funny, too, because of that, I didn't realize how tough giants were in the game.
Oh, boy.
Because...
I called them
trolls.
On the second playthrough. On the first playthrough, so with orcs, they have a berserk racial ability. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, that guy's huge. I threw on my berserk, which like doubles your damage and it like makes it so you take none. And it took me quite a few hits, but I brought, you know, the giant down before he could kill me. And I was like, oh, giants are easy. Why does everyone complain about these?
Yeah.
It's because I had like, you know, steroids as an orc.
That's how I was with my sneaking and the dagger. I had all the damage boosts just from, you know, sneaking.
Right.
And it just, if you do it right, it's crazy how much like you said, it's kind of broken.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. The entire game's broken. Did you guys ever figure out the enchanting alchemy loop?
No. No, I never knew about it. Okay. I just had always had problems when I would do those, like, you know, when you'd go to a hotel and you'd be like, what's a word? And he'd be like, oh, this bandit leader needs to be killed. And then, like, I got started on a main quest or something like that, and it brought me to the same area, and it's just an arrow pointing to an empty fucking chair. I hated that. I never knew how to fix that. But any other glitches, no, I didn't know. I don't think I was really using, like, I just got the strategy guide, no lie, like, 2 years ago.
So, what you can do in the game, someone figured out pretty quickly, is there's three skills. Enchanting, alchemy, and blacksmithing.
Yeah.
So you can use your alchemy to improve your enchanting. And then you can use your improved enchanting to improve your alchemy. And then you use that improved alchemy to improve your enchanting. And well, then that improved enchanting...
I'm not saying, oh, really, this time.
Yeah. That improved enchanting you can use to improve your alchemy. And you just keep cycling it over and over again. And once you have, like, this ungodly enchanting, you enchant things to improve your blacksmithing. And when you go to make, like, swords, armor, whatever, you can one-hit anything.
Oh, I never knew that.
you can make swords that do like 6 million damage.
I remember I got my blacksmithing up super quick because I'd collect a bunch of iron ingots. And I'd just go throughout my travels, like a couple days I'd play the game. And I would collect all the ingots and leather strips, and I would go to a forge and I would just make like a bajillion iron daggers. Because I wanted daggers. That Daedric so bad. Oh my god. And plus that's one of the trophies. You have to acquire a Daedric piece. Because earlier in the game, you can take armor off any NPC in that game, but if you kill a Daedric guy, you can't take
their... You can't take their... Yeah.
And that pissed me off, because I was like, he's in full gear, like, I could take him.
Did you guys ever go back? I know you kind of hopped on the train with Skyrim, but did you ever go back and play Oblivion?
I tried, but that's a shitty thing, because... Like, you're going backwards, so, like, all the good ideas that are in this game aren't in the first, and it wasn't what I anticipated.
Yeah.
So after I got a few hours in, I just put it down. I was like, I
had kind of the same experience. My first experience with it was after Skyrim, so it just felt so weird and off.
Even though I played Oblivion, it was the same exact thing with Morrowind for me.
Oh, yeah.
So Morrowind was actually based on, like, the D&D concept of, like, you have to roll to hit, you know? And then Oblivion took that a step further and was like, no, if you swing, you hit. But in Morrowind, you had, like, a hit skill. So I got off the boat for the first time, literally got off the boat, because you're a prisoner in that game, too. You're a prisoner in all the
other games. They want no backstory. They want you to just be a random guy, build your own kind of...
Right. Yeah. So I get out, and, like, I'm wandering along the banks, and then, like, a fish starts attacking me. I'm like, kill this fucking fish. I did not kill that fucking fish.
Oh, my God.
Because I'm swinging, and it says miss. And I'm like, like, I was not a D&D guy at this point, you know? Yeah. Like, I was
he
strictly...
died by a fish.
Yeah. So I'm, like, swinging. I'm like, what How the fuck do you it? Mean miss? Oh, it was a tiny little slaughter fish. like this was not a whale. This was not a shark. This
I'm
was
just
a
like picturing it in real life.
Yeah, this was like a fucking cod. Like a cod came and just chewed my ankles to death.
And then you fell over and bled to death.
And I was like, fuck this, I'm going back to Oblivion. Yeah. Actually, I thought Oblivion was great because it had a DLC that was so bad that it became a meme and is like the template that everybody compares bad DLC to. But it also had another DLC that was so good that it was meme worthy and is now the template that everyone uses to compare good DLC to.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they had the horse armor was the bad DLC. You paid money to get a DLC where you could just put armor on your horse.
That's crazy.
It was like you,
that's the worst freaking DLC luck. Fucks. Like, but, remember how long Dawnguard and all that other shit took to come out?
Yeah.
Like,
Well, it wasn't as bad on Xbox. And because I know
the DLCs for Skyrim.
Yeah, I don't even know if Dragonborn ever came out for PS4. Did it? It did finally.
PS4.
Yeah.
Or 3. Because I remember 3.
Oh yeah, yeah. PS3. Yeah.
It took forever to get Dawnguard. And then.
Because.
The other one that you were saying.
So I have bought this game so many fucking times.
Me too. It's the only game I've bought like probably 3 times.
I bought it for.
I still have my original.
I bought it for PS3 was the first one I got it for. And then my daughter was like 9 months old and she chewed on it.
Ugh.
And I put it in and it still worked until ironically I got to like water areas in the game. And when I jumped in water, the game just crashed. And it was like the disc knew.
Yeah. It's just like.
After that I was like, fuck this. And I bought it for Xbox 360. And I'm glad I did because. I would have been waiting forever.
There's some stuff in that game that's not in, other ones. There's a secret tower in the Xbox 360 game. You go to a certain spot and you run like all the way out and there's this big tower and then there's this old like, it's like a big, it almost looks like a mansion, but you don't see the walls. All you see are the windows and lights or whatever. It's like this big testing area. Like there's dragons that float around out there and everything. Yeah.
Interesting. I actually never found that.
Or like Sovngarde, there's like this weird layout near the area. Like when you go to Sovngarde, it makes me think like they had like a different structure at the time for those areas. I wonder what ideas, like, because they said that like it was for like testing purposes and they just left them in the game. Or, like, I guess there's a place where you can go where all the NPCs you kill are in one area or something like that, too.
Okay.
Or, like, also another secret is when you go to the shops, they have a chest underground underneath them that stores all their stuff or whatever.
Yes, they do.
It's pretty cool.
Dawnstar. It's actually by a cave.
Yeah.
And you don't have to, like, glitch anything to get to it.
It's crazy.
It's just invisible laying there next to a cave, and you can definitely... steal it, like, and then so if you find the merchant who's attached to that chest, and you save your game, and then murder them, and then reload the game, it refreshes the stock, so you can go pillage it again.
Wow,
interesting.
Yeah, you can also use that exploit to like get infinite money. That's actually how I leveled up my Not the first time. The first time I did it legit. But when I go through and play now, and I need to level up my smithing, I go to Dawnstar. I make all my daggers. I enchant the daggers. I sell them to that merchant until she doesn't have money. Then I kill her, reload, so that it does. And then I just keep selling it and selling it and selling it. So I get infinite money, infinite, you know.
Game was a grind, man.
Yeah, it was definitely a grind.
And it's crazy too. It's like timeless in a way. People still play it today. Instagram, Skyrim Best Shots has been on since the game came out. Since you could use Instagram, I've been a part of that. I've had a couple photos featured on that. The one that sticks out to me is when you go to Sovngarde. That sky, I looked up and took a perfect picture of the circle.
Oh, nice. But
yeah, just like one of those long-standing games that I'm like. Maybe in the future my baby girl will play that game, you know what I mean?
Right,
be totally fucking ready to go, you know?
Yeah.
My first time, I should have said this earlier, but my first time. So there's a seven-fingered man that lives across the street from my parents' house. His name is Bobby.
Wait. How have we done 3 episodes already, and this is the first time you've told us about the seven-fingered man who lives... Like, this should have been day one stuff.
I know.
Remember?
He every time we'd see Dean, he had sideburns at the time, and he'd be like, "Man, your burns are looking nice." Nub part on his sideburns.
I thought he literally put his hand like that, but it wasn't. It was his nub, and he would just go like that to my face, and I didn't realize.
Anyway, I was standing in the kitchen with him when we were talking. It was like one of the first times I was hanging out with him, and all of a sudden, he's getting attacked by a mud crab because he left it on pause, and I'm like, "What game is this?" He's like, "Oh, Skyrim. I'm addicted. I haven't stopped playing it." And I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, how do you play it? How do you even attack? Like, because it's on, he's got to be, like, attacking with his pinky.
Okay, so he has seven fingers total.
Total.
So he'd have to use his thumb for the analog and his pinky for the triggers.
It has to be.
How would he press the other button?
See, I imagine somebody who had two extra fingers.
That'd be a challenging game to play, though, with any sort of struggle with your hands.
Sorry, I let you down.
If I had lost three fingers, I think I would just try to surgically have the other two put on my other hand so that I could have one exclusively for punching. Yeah.
Oh man.
So you mentioned the Thieves Guild before. Let's talk about the guilds. Which one was your guys' favorite? So we have just to kind of, I know Dean, it's been a while and you kind of came on without knowing what we were talking about, so I can prep you.
It's been a while, but I remember my favorite that I remember was the one the group that you turn into a werewolf from. I always liked that.
The Companions, yeah.
Yeah, I always really liked that whole part.
I'm going to say them, too, just because the Thieves Guild made me grind for, like, 10 years to get that trophy.
I felt like the quests they had for it, too, though, were very fun. Mm. They weren't too challenging, and you got to explore a lot.
I think they did a good job of kind of sucking you in and immersing you in the story that was going on.
Yeah.
I had the most fun doing the when I went to the College of Winterhold for the first time in the Mages Guild or whatever there. I like that. Those quests were fun. That first one where you follow the professor to, like, you go and investigate, like, this underground place and you get stuck or whatever in this, I don't know. But just remember that first time going up there and you have to pass the test and use the Lesser Ward thing. Just like, oh, so cool, man. I was just like, I don't know. I enjoyed doing those quests the most. They weren't repetitive. Like, it was a storyline. Like, Thieves Guild's a storyline. And I have a beef with them. I'm sorry. But it's just like, it was fun. And then after you finish that, it's like you got to do all these odd jobs. After you essentially basically outed the person that was stealing from there, literally, like, saved them from going under, basically, or whatever. And you still got to do all that shit. Like, Bethesda, I understand that you made Wayne Gretzky's 3, but this is, like, fucked up that you made me do that.
So, for me, I couldn't help but compare to, like, the prior games. I think the Companions Guild, the, you know, Analogous Guild in Oblivion was the Fighters Guild. So I think the Companions quests were much better than the Fighters Guild. The College of Winterhold, their doppelganger, I guess, in Oblivion was the Mages Guild.
Yeah.
I think the College of Winterhold was probably a little more fun than the Mages Guild.
Yeah. I have them separated. It's not all one because,
But the Dark Brotherhood was in both Oblivion and Skyrim. Yes. The Dark Brotherhood was so much better in Oblivion. Not even comparable.
Yeah.
And same with the Thieves Guild. Like, the Thieves Guild line in Oblivion was so much better than it was in Skyrim. So I think it's so weird because those were the two really fun things. The Dark Brotherhood quest was the best in Oblivion.
The second time I played Skyrim, you can actually just end the Dark Brotherhood right away. Right. I just went straight there and killed them all, and then, like, you know, I finished a quest or whatever, and that just, like, was, like, completed. And, like, okay.
So, I found that out the first playthrough.
Oh, really?
Because, Astrid is the name of the... So, she traps Orc Lesnar in the shack out in the woods.
So good.
And then I wake up and she was like, "You need to do this." And I was like, "Who the hell does this bitch think she is?"
Yeah.
I'm Orc Lesnar. So I pull out, you know, my axe. She's like, "You have to kill someone in this room." And I'm like, "How about you?" And I'm swinging at her. I take a swing at her thinking, like, all right, she's going to be an essential, you know, character, and I'll just, you know, she'll just, like, be like, ow, all right, go kill one of these. But then, like, she dies,
yeah,
you know, and then I got the whole, like, you know, kill the dragon. I had to murder the other three people because there can't be any witnesses.
Yeah. Hey, you did the right thing, man. You did. Because if you don't know anything about that game and you get put in that situation, it's like, yeah, I'm going to come after you because you just fucking kidnapped me and you're going to make me kill somebody, so you're going to give me a weapon and you're just going to sit there like this. Then I'm going to fucking kill you.
So we know this isn't a video podcast, so I just want to describe what happened in that scenario, right? So Jesse actually did the sexy Astrid pose in his chair. He's doing it again now.
I just don't have anywhere to put my legs.
We should rename it the Sexy Jesse Pose.
It's the Sexy Jesse Pose.
Two players, one Sexy Jesse podcast. Astrid edition. And in typical fashion, I brought the game today. Bethesda. Wayne Gretzky Hockey, Game of the Year.
I've been considering getting it again. I still have my original PC copy. I bought it on PC once. First time when it first came out, and then I got it on
that's the best way to play
PS3 two different times, two different years.
This is actually one copy.
It's been a few years. I might get it on PS4.
You know what was the most disappointing thing to me? The fact that if any other game would do this and people were to roll their eyes at it, I would get it. But I wish race meant more in the game. Right, so like we're thrown into this Skyrim in the middle of a civil war where the Nords are trying to free themselves from the Empire. They're actively oppressing the Dark Elves in the game, but like no one does it to you if you like. So like the Thalmor have banned like Talos, the god of the Nord, people, but like you can be a High Elf and technically be of the same race of the Thalmor, and you can be the savior of the Nordic people? Like, why don't you hit any sort of... And I mean, I get that they would have to program a lot, but they did program a lot.
Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah. I wish that if I picked a High Elf, people would be like, oh, a dirty Thalmor is gonna be, you know... Like, I wish people didn't accept you as the Dragonborn if you were an elf.
Yeah.
You know, or even, even an orc.
Have the customization not only be as open as it is, but cater to the story and how it all fits in.
Right. Yeah. You know,
have some sort of different storyline for that.
So, like I'm going through, I'm playing as an orc. There are no orcs in the game unless you find like the stronghold.
Just the one librarian.
You have to find the orcish strongholds. And they still treat you. You find an orcish stronghold as an orc, and they treat you like you're not an orc.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I wish there was a little more cognizance in, choices like that.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it would be... I mean, it would probably be a big undertaking, but I don't think it would be impossible. I think it would be very reasonable to do something like that, too, because the quests are really just focused on the dialogue.
You
can still make the same exact game, just change dialogue.
Change dialogue.
Little details. And it feels brand new.
Hired like you can 70 different voice actors for that.
You can do like three different stories, just have minor details change depending on which race you are, and then so you have so many different ways to play at that point.
Right. Like, I mean, am I seriously gonna play as a High Elf and then join, the Stormcloaks and be all like Skyrim's for the Nords and nobody questions that?
It's so weird. Oh my god. Such a good point.
I think that was one of the biggest missed opportunities in the game. The fact that there was kind of a basic acknowledgement, but that you got the same thing no matter what. So if you went to the Stormcloaks, they would be like, if you're an orc, they'd be like, why would an orc fight for us? Or why would a High Elf fight for us? But aside from that, like, nobody questions it afterwards. Yeah.
Do you think they might start leaning towards that when the next Elder Scrolls comes out in like 30
years?
Oh
my god.
I think
how long did you say? 2052?
Yeah.
I remember being at my house in the condo when they showed that first trailer of the land, and my buddy's like, oh, it's all exciting. And I'm like, knowing Bethesda and Todd Howard, they probably haven't even started working on that game at that time. They're just like, let's render this and make it look really cool and then put Elder Scrolls on it and send it as a trailer, see you in 10 years.
I think that's exactly what they did.
Yeah. I'm like, so like I was excited, like, cool, it's coming, but like, when?
Yeah.
Is it gonna be like a?
I'm pretty sure I'll pay off my house before it, which I'll have the money then.
I believe it.
It'll take longer than The Last of Us has. I've been. Yeah. So it's been like what, 4.5 years? I think almost since. I was at the condo.
Do you think it will be out on the coming system? The coming generation.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Within the coming generation. The
PS5 and Xbox. Because
it seems seems like every 4 or 5 years they're at least announcing the next system.
Yeah.
So you figure if they're waiting another, if it ends up being another 10 years, it might skip that generation. You think?
I don't think it's going to be that long. I think like 2024 is what they have it at right now.
Then again,
that'd be nice.
We'll see what happens because they're doing a press conference June 4th, I think, for PlayStation. I can't wait to be back on first shift, man. Like, being on second shift sucks. I missed The Last of Us State of Play. Like, you know, there's been a couple other things that have happened that I haven't been able to see all these new games. So I haven't even seen or heard anything about Elder Scrolls. Like, have you?
I've seen a little bit. Just kind of look at. So, rumor mill.
Besides Greymoor for ESO.
Right. Rumor mill says this is going to take place in two different places, High Rock and let me actually pull it up. It's the Red Guards area, Hammerfell, High Rock and Hammerfell. There was actually a guy who leaked a bunch of stuff.
Why has this been happening so much? Have you noticed that?
That people are leaking.
Everybody has been getting shit leaked. Like, sorry to interrupt, but yeah, it just walked on my mind.
Yeah.
Call of Duty Black Ops 4 just had story leaked. It was supposed to be 2v2 campaign. Like,
interesting.
They announced gameplay from that. The Last of Us, which I don't want to fucking hear it. I've been trying really hard. I was really mad that somebody did that, and then they wanted to say that Naughty Dog. It was someone from Naughty Dog, but now I guess it was.
There's a ton of drama behind that. Yeah. Huge amount.
Yep. Which, you know, we'll get into in that episode. But, like, what else was leaked? A whole list of, like, PS5 games, like 32 of them. Something like that.
I don't know. I kind of see it as. It's unfortunate, but I see it as inevitable. Yeah. You kind of have to face, the hacking attacks to learn how to fight them off. So, here and there, it's going to happen, guaranteed, no matter how advanced we are with security and all that. It does suck that it's the biggest games too, though, because like that's the kind of game you don't want it spoiled.
Yeah.
And I think even for a game like Skyrim, there's so much detail in it, you can spoil stuff, but like you shouldn't. You know what I mean? It's one of those games that's supposed to be about big history and the whole big world that's created within. You know, it's not just a fun experience. It's a whole world.
It just sucks now that you can't, like, you know, go on and try. Like, it's so hard for me to go on and look up stuff because I'm always nervous that, like, I just can't wait for that game to come out.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I remember when Star Wars was spoiled for him and he was trying to avoid it.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I remember he told me about that. I was upset for you. What were you saying?
So, I was actually looking into it. I pulled up the leak so I could,
For what game?
Elder Scrolls 6. Okay. But there's actually an update on there saying that it's been confirmed as fake. Hmm. So it's not. Yeah.
The one thing I'll be disappointed in if they don't have it in the coming Elder Scrolls game is customizable genitals. Because apparently that's becoming a thing now. Mm-hmm. And Skyrim, like the whole Elder Scrolls series, the level of customization should be in the top of all games. So they're kind of falling behind now that they're taking so long.
So you're referencing Cyberpunk.
Yes.
Cyberpunk has customizable genitals, which I cannot wait to see how that's implemented. Hilarious. But so Cyberpunk is going to be a first-person game.
Is it really?
Yeah, so I don't really understand what the point is of customizing your genitals.
I assume it's a cinematic thing. There's probably some cinematics in it that have to do with.
What I'm guessing is like they're going the non-binary route with gender. So I'm guessing like you can like play around with stuff like that. I don't know if you could like, I don't know if there's a dick slider. I'm leaning towards no.
So there's like, there's, you don't pick a gender, you just pick like a physical shape and build off that.
I think, yeah, you pick like
that's an interesting idea.
So when I read on it, like they're not forcing you into the male or female role. So yeah, I mean, there's some sort of thing where you can, I don't know, put a blog about your gender on there.
See, I think Elder Scrolls should lean that way though, just because they have different races and all that. Like, there's so much you can do with that when it comes to, you know, a Khajiit compared to doing a normal Nord where he's just like a human. There's so many different physical features you can mess with and play around with. I think that would be a fun customizable idea. That depth of it. At least,
would you know? Play a Khajiit with 3 balls and no penis?
Yeah, 3 boobs.
Whatever to get them barters up.
You have gold, Khajiit have swears.
Next, did you, the bulge meter.
Did you ever run into Maik the Liar in Skyrim?
That game's so vast. I feel like those little interactions, I can't remember.
So Maik is a Khajiit, yeah, who you can go up to him and he'll say like weird things. He'll only say like 2 and then he goes away. Or no, he not in Skyrim. So he'll just stop talking to you, but you can find him again later in the game and he'll say more weird things. So Maik has actually been in every single Elder Scrolls game, I think starting with Morrowind. He may have been in earlier than that, but I didn't play earlier than that. So the things he says are actually like complaints that people have had on like Elder Scrolls 4.
Oh, really?
so like when Oblivion, so in Morrowind there was throwing weapons.
Yeah.
Like you could have spears and you could throw them. And then they got rid of that for Oblivion, and a lot of people complained about it during the development. They're like, why would you? So like Maik throws in a jab about that, says, you know, something like, like, you have a perfectly good weapon, why would you throw away?
Yeah.
I like how I turned Maik into a Greek guy. You get falafel with French fries, why not? Heavy.
Here it is.
Come down to Maik's diner.
So weird.
Maik once walked to High Hrothgar.
See, it's weird. I'll find a good one for us.
Yeah, Maik's got some good.
He does sound like that too, though.
Yeah.
Too much magic can be dangerous. Maik had 2 spells and burned his sweet rolls.
Oh. Right. So that was actually one. You used to be able to combine spells forget if it was Morrowind or Oblivion.
Says, what does this mean? To combine magic.
Right.
Magic plus magic is still magic. But as you were saying.
Yeah. He's got lines about like how, you know, like where have the dragons been all this time? And he suggests that dragons are invisible up until now.
Oh my God. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever ran into him and just never knew it. Just maybe he said something weird and I was like, whatever, you're not going to sell me anything, I'm out of here.
So in Oblivion, one of your skills was, there was an athletic skill, and it determined how fast you moved. So, like, you ran around, like, normal pace at the beginning, but the more you built up your, you know, athletics, you could be like a fucking motorcycle, just, like, running down. And Maik's speed was 100. So his was up all the way. So if you talk to him twice, he would give you his 2 things and he would just take off. one of the rewards for doing the Dark Brotherhood quest was Shadowmere, the horse.
Yeah.
In Oblivion, and he was the fastest horse in the game, like by far. And if you had Shadowmere, you could keep up with Maik to the point where you could follow him, but he was still faster than you.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
Then again, you get him in Skyrim, too, I think.
You get him in Skyrim, too.
Yeah.
I hope they get a little more diverse in the mounts. Because, it'd be cool to have other things other than just horse. Like,
and the dragon riding, Dragonborn was weird.
Yeah, because,
you could ride the dragon, but you really couldn't
It was like a shitty carnival ride, is what it was. Like
like one of those rides where you put 25 cents in out in front of Kmart and you sit on that horse and it just goes up and down and up and down.
Yeah, like the dragon picks where you go. He circles around a couple times, show you where Brad Pitt's house is, and then you land and it's over.
And Matty the Liar's there like, what if one weapon breaks? Nobody knows. Oh, man. I did learn that that Oblivion only, there was like a complaint about their voice actors, like they only used 12.
Oh yeah, it was, everyone sounded the same.
But then it's like in Skyrim they used 70, and supposedly it took them 4 weeks to record in 3 separate studios. But I always feel like I hear the same people, and I think Paul Eiding, the guy who plays Colonel Campbell's in that game, I just forget who he plays.
General Tullius, I think.
That. Oh, no. It's the sidekick to Ulfric.
Oh!
He wears the...
Yeah, the bear guy. How do... Oh, my God, I'm forgetting his name right now. Stonefist. Halmar Stonefist.
Yeah. I killed those motherfuckers in the first one.
So, all right, so that's actually a good thing to talk about there. Like, who did you got... So you sided with the Empire the first time?
Yeah. Yep.
What about you, Dean?
Honestly, I do not remember, but I remember I killed a lot of people that I shouldn't have killed. I was pretty reckless. I was like, I wanted to make it clear that it was me against the world.
No, I mean, you're a Khajiit. Why do you care about...
Yeah. Like, I'm a sneaky, you know, archer. I'm trying to be all solo and lone wolf.
So...
I saved the world.
I know when it first came out, everyone was like, how could you join the Stormcloaks? They're racist. And yes, they are. But hear me out. I will take racist over tried to murder me.
Yeah.
For real. Well, oh, like, my God. Like, if you were like, hey, there's two groups here and you have to join one of them, you don't get a choice. You don't get to change any of them. They are who they are. One of them is racist. I'd be like, oh, God, I don't want to be with them. And then, the other one wants to murder you. And, oh, fuck, I'm going to join the... You have to join the racists at that point, right?
Yeah. And just complete the quest and then kill them after. But, yeah, I killed them. And then I purposely left them there naked and just threw them both in the corner. And they never go away.
They never go away.
Like, if I turned on that save file, they'd be right there.
It's even better when you download the nude mod and kill them and leave them out nude in the streets.
That's amazing. I wish I could do
so
that.
So, actually, I want to ask you about that. Do you remember any specific mods that were common on console compared to PC? Because I know there's a big difference on variety.
So,
Thomas the Train for PC.
Honestly, I wouldn't bother modding the console version of it. Just because they're so stripped down and there's a lot of simple things that they can't do. So one of my absolute favorite mods on the PC version is called the Parthenax Dilemma. And it's a really simple mod. All it does is, so you get to the point in the main game where you have the blades on one side and the bearded guys in High Hrothgar. What are they called?
The Greybeards.
The Greybeards, yeah. So you have the blades and the Greybeards, and you kind of hit an impasse where the blades want you to kill Parthenax. And so you have to kind of pick one or the other. So what this mod does is it basically, like, you put the blades in their place. Like, it's not voice acted at all, but there's like a, you know, when they're like, we want you to kill Parthenax, there's a dialogue choice you can make where you basically tell them, like, hey, shut the fuck up. The blades serve the Dragonborn, not the other way around. You don't get to determine who I kill, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then they're just like, oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. And then the game treats it like you killed Parthenax for their side of things, but Parthenax is still alive. You can't get it on the Xbox because it, like, messes... There's something it does with the code that Xbox and PS4... I think it's Xbox and PS4 both. PS4 might let you do it, but they just don't allow you to manipulate the code the way you need to do something so simple.
I've heard a lot of people online who are fans of the game hate it when you kill him also.
Parthenax?
Yeah.
Because it's Mario.
I've seen a lot of people, like...
Oh, there's a reason
about how they hate you if you kill him. Like that's this huge issue.
Oh, the Greybeards?
No, like a lot of fans of the game.
Yeah.
hate it when other fans kill.
Oh, yeah, because you shouldn't kill Parthenax. It makes no sense.
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
I'm part of a group that has, like, Skyrim memes on Facebook. I recently joined, and they're constantly putting memes about that. And it's pretty funny.
You'll have to invite me to that group. Yeah, I never understood why, even from a, like, oh, well, you know, I know he helped you, and he's the only reason we've gotten this far, and, you know, he's on our side, but, like, kill him because we're racist against dragons.
Well, that's the thing. I see it as, if you have an opportunity to not kill a dragon and it's not going to kill you in that game, why not? You're busy killing dragons the whole rest of the game. You might as well make a friend with one.
Right. Like, if a dragon...
If I had the choice, yeah, I want to be friends with it.
This is a good life lesson, too. If you're walking down the street and a fucking dragon wants to be your friend, do not kill that dragon.
Oh. Exactly. I don't get it.
Oh, my God. No. But, yeah, that was the game I put the most time into in one playthrough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was at, like, 300 hours, and I remember I ran into one guy, he's like, that's it. I'm just like, what? Like, I literally spent my whole life on this game. Like, and then after I platinumed it, I think the only thing, I said I'd shut it off, but I did go and collect the masks and was pissed off when I collected all those masks just to get a mask.
Yeah.
But in all the
dragon priest masks?
Yeah, a different teleported area. But it was cool because they're like own adventures. I remember just coming home from work at like 10 o'clock at night at CVS where I was working at the time. And I remember, like, I'd be at work like, oh, I can't wait to get home and, like, just, you know, take out a couple dungeons. And a couple dungeons turned into a couple quests. And next thing you know, it's 6 in the morning and I'm sleeping all the way until I gotta go to work.
Yeah.
One time, I remember, like, I don't know, I'm a big believer in, like, the weather. So, like, one time, just hear me out. One time I got up early for work. I was supposed to work 7 to 4, and then I thought I had to work a double. And I came in, they're like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, oh, I thought I had to work. They're like, no, you don't come in. And I'm like, okay. And it's, like, raining and all this stuff, and, like, it does that in the game, too. And I'm just, like, on my way home, like, I'm just gonna, like, I don't know, the mode, like, it just put me in this zone where, like, I'm just like, oh, I can't wait to get home. I still listen to Skyrim atmospheres to go to sleep.
That's awesome.
If you ask Alexa, or if you have one, or Google, it has, like, Alexa, play Skyrim atmospheres, repeat. And my wife loves it, too.
Yeah.
So it's even better. But I've been going to sleep to The Last of Us lately. But I can't wait for that. Oh, my God.
Did you guys play the DLCs? Did you play Dragonborn?
Yeah.
Nope.
No?
No, I didn't get a chance.
Either one?
None of them.
Oh,
I've only played the base game, which is unfortunate. That's part of why I've been considering of doing another playthrough.
You need to, and you need to get the... So I'll ask you this, Jesse, because, you know, he did. Vampire Lord or Werewolf?
Where did I go with? Oh, where I went with the Werewolf, I think. No.
Which one do you think is cooler?
The what?
Vampire Lords or Werewolves?
I think the Vampire Lords are cooler, but I didn't use them because I didn't like that I couldn't, like, really go out in the day.
Like, you lost a little. Can. Your stamina just doesn't regenerate.
Yeah. I had it the other way around. I thought it was, like, life or something. Why was I so dumb?
Oblivion is like that? So if you're a vampire in Oblivion, So, the way Oblivion does it, it was kind of cool. So, once you get turned into a vampire, if you feed, you're pretty much a normal human with some boosted stats.
Yeah.
But if you go without feeding, you get stronger and stronger and stronger, but your weaknesses get, like, to the point where, so if you're at your strongest as a vampire, you have to go out at night, because if you walk outside during the daytime, you will die instantly.
Yeah.
So I think it's really cool the way they did that.
Yeah.
I would like to see that be brought back, and I would like to have a way of playing where it's feasible to only go out at night.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Maybe you have, like, certain types of gear you can wear during the day. Maybe it hinders, you know, you know, some of your attributes or something. But, you know, there, I think there needs to be some sort of, you know, like you are a god at night and during the daytime, not so much. What did you think of, what did you think of Dragonborn?
That was fun with Mirak, right?
Yeah, with Mirak, yeah.
And you're going through and all the books you gotta collect. That was fun, but, like, that was a grind. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, I remember finally getting to him and just, like, I don't know, I really liked that boss fight more than the one with Alduin.
The Alduin boss fight, I think, was it left something to be desired. Yeah,
yeah.
I didn't like the three old Nordic heroes who, like, I don't know, I haven't needed your help the entire time.
Yeah,
you know, like,
so weird.
Like, Alduin, like, flew off to Sovngarde because he fought you and got his ass kicked, and he needed to go, like, recuperate. So, like, why do I need these three people with me? I don't know. I thought the game kind of ended very anticlimactically in that.
I'm just happy that I felt the same way even on my first playthrough, but I was happy because there's so much to do after. You just kind of forget about it. Like, that's how it was for me. Like, I remember getting the main story out of the way, and I'm like, all right, now I can, like, really, you know. I don't know. I just...
Did you ever play with any mods?
No, never.
Oh my god, you guys need to get never. It for PC.
I've always watched them on... I've always watched them online with Thomas the Train.
My original copy for PC, which was from the first set when it first came out.
Yeah.
I just got to get a PC where it'll actually play it well.
You need to get a PC. Yeah. My favorite mod, I don't use it because it just, like, it's funny once. But my favorite mod has to be the one where it turns all the dragons into Macho Man Randy Savage.
That's so cool.
You're just at hell again.
Any sound with him or no?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, ooh, yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I've seen
and they're like,
of
what
it.
Was
it's
that?
So great. I liked it. I thought it was good.
Yeah, Macho Man, huh? Gonna blow a little fire, yeah.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Thank you.
My favorite promo of him is the cream of the crop.
Mine
just
too.
Pulling him out.
I think that's my favorite
cream
wrestling
of the crop,
promo of all time.
The cup of coffee one was pretty good. Yeah. I think those were two. Yeah, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, uh-huh. You've been here for a cup of coffee, yeah.
Where him and Hulk Hogan are, like, doing that, like, Mega Powers one, too. And someone put, when you and your friend try shrooms for the first time. It's like, are we in the stratosphere, the ionosphere, brother? I don't know, but it blew my 24-inch pythons out. So
yeah,
good.
I'm feeling funky like a monkey, yeah.
So good. Oh, yep, I'm seeing it right here. Macho Man. We're showing them a video of Macho Man in the beginning coming from the top. When you're about to get your head cut off. You know what's funny? I have this weird tradition that every time the guy gets beheaded at the beginning, I go, woo! I don't know why. Anytime someone got beheaded in that game, I don't care if it was 5 in the morning and my wife was sleeping, I would always do that. Like, I don't
the
know,
Ric just, Flair woo.
Yeah. All the time. Woo! I don't know. I just loved that part. From the first time I played it, I was like, woo! And then up until now, like, I have the VR version. And I just, it was the first VR game I ever played. And I just remember, I'm in the cart, and I forgot there's a guy right next to you. I'm just, like, talking to the guy over here. And then I have Ulfric over here. And I forgot, and I remember I just turned to look around me, and it literally made me jump, because there's another guy sitting next to you. Like, but it's a whole different experience in the VR, especially when you're, like, traversing through. Like, I purposely don't take the horses, or take a trolley, or
carriage
anywhere.
The cart, yeah.
Just because that VR just puts you, like, I don't even know. Like, they have a whole different options menu for that. Like, to select your game.
Yeah.
You're in, like, this crazy big cave. Oh, you're at where you go with the Alduin's wall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they have you in there kind of off to the side, and the wall's to your left, and you literally, like, you have to have, like, a chair like this to really enjoy VR. But you, like, turn that way, and it's all there, and you can look around or whatever. And, they have you select your game there. And then you also, you know, calibrate everything and whatever. It's so cool. Like, I just I played it so many times that I can't really get far in it, just because I'm, you know, it's, I've grinded so long at that game, I can't do it again, I don't know.
Yeah. But is there any quests you can think of, or anything that just kind of stood out to you as being, you know...
Not restoring the Thieves Guild.
Definitely
I'm going
not.
Back to that always. Fuck that thing. Man, there's so many. The following the dog was the first like one.
Okay, the dog that ends up being Barnabas, I think.
Yeah, and you have to like either kill him. You get the helmet, right?
Yep. Yeah, the Clavicus Vile's mask. Yep. Yeah.
That was like the first. Excuse me. That was the first mask I got, and that's the first quest that stood out to me. But now that I'm talking about it, the first trip to Bleak's Fall Barrow for me, like just coming up from that hill and turning and seeing those two staircases, having the arrow fights with the guards up there, and then going in and then having the guards there and just arrowing them from far away. I don't know why I made a rifle shot. Like I said, I'm in the Last of Us mode with the game coming out in 3 weeks, so I'm like been watching a lot of videos on that. But yeah, those two definitely. What about for you?
For me, I really thought it was clever in the Dark Brotherhood quest where you had to track down the cook for the Emperor, kill him, hide his body, assume his identity,
yeah,
then go and cook and poison. Yes. And it turns out to be like, I think stuff like that's awesome.
Or the one where you go and you kill the groom at the wedding.
Yes, yeah, that's a great one too.
Yep.
Actually, so this obviously isn't a Skyrim one, but I think my favorite quest out of any Elder Scrolls was also a Dark Brotherhood one. It was in Oblivion. So you got this quest for the Dark Brotherhood where it was almost like a game show type of thing.
Yeah.
So like they took a number of people, like 6-7 people, I forget how many it was, and they put them all in a house together, and you're in there too. They all think that there's a treasure that is hidden in this house, and whoever finds it gets to keep it. They're all actually there to be murdered by you, and they don't know it. So you have to go through, like, you can go and, you know...
This is amazing.
Yeah, you can go in and, like, just try and slaughter them if you want, but you can also kind of pick them apart and wait till you can get each one of them alone.
Yeah.
And you can kill them and then go and talk to them and try to turn them against each other.
That's cool.
It's by far the best quest I've ever played in any Elder Scrolls game. Maybe any game.
Get them all into the building and split them up into four teams, and next thing you know, the host from Legends of the Hidden Temple comes out. He's like, all right, guys, who's going to play the Iron Monkeys? Yeah. Or the green, I don't know.
I think it was the green monkeys.
Yeah.
The yeah. Orange barracudas are eliminated.
Barracuda.
But yeah, other than that, like the only other game that I've had like that much fun on is gotta be, we've said it 3 years in a row or 3 episodes in a row, Barbie's Dreamland. VR.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Ken's nipples and virtual reality.
Ken's virtual 3D lifelike nipples.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing. But no, for real, this game opened me up to the RPG world and made me really like appreciate how much work goes into making these games and whatever. It's just like, I don't know. It's just one of those games that is timeless. And
definitely
90% timeless. Of the people that play video games enjoy it.
Honestly, I thought it was the reigning best video game up until The Witcher 3 came out.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that's the only game. And, I mean, Witcher 3 had, you know, 4 years, you know.
Yeah.
It was developed 4 years after.
It's been about a decade since this came out too, almost,
right? Yeah, 2011 is
so
when it's
almost a decade.
It's almost 10 years.
Which is
yeah.
crazy too, because even by today's standards, I know
that's a
not,
long time.
Yeah, and even by today's standards, the scale of a game, the size and everything, is still massive. Even
right
visually, even with better graphics we see today, it still looks amazing.
You know what I mean?
There's so much that's still holding strong.
You know, we've talked about in other episodes how, like, some video games were kind of the template that other ones use. I mean, for like, open world games, everyone goes back to Skyrim.
Yep.
I mean, when they did Breath of the Wild, you know, they were like, we need to make a Zelda game based off Skyrim.
I loved that game, too.
And it was amazing.
There were some things that were frustrating, but overall, absolutely amazing.
I loved when you were able to use the crossbow.
In Breath
Skyrim.
Of the Wild. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, oh, sorry, I missed that.
With the Dawnguard?
Yeah.
The one where,
Once you got that, and then I just, like, I felt like it just changed the whole... Because then, like, if you start a new story, like, those weapons are included in the game, so you can even get them beforehand, I remember. And just... I wish I could have appreciated archery more. And I did when the new game came out. Like, there's a highlight thing that I just watched on my YouTube of me. And it's just like, I take a shot and I'm like, oh!
Have you seen, like, the people who do Skyrim trick shots?
Yeah. It's insane.
They're amazing.
It's insane. I don't understand how they do half the shit that they do. But it really makes me... It's like... It's that game, like, you could make the character the way you want. You know what I mean? So if you wanted to be really good at freaking archery, you could be really good at archery. But if you wanted to be a good mage, you could be a really good mage. I just remember, like, I could never hit, like, really far shots with the archery. So I, like...
Oh, yeah, I'm talking about the people who have, like, figured out all the angles and stuff like that. And they do, like, you know, they could, like, stand on one side of Whiterun and, like, peg, you know, the preacher on the other side. You know,
it's like in the head.
Yeah. And I'm just watching that. I'm like, you will never be as good at anything in real life as you are at firing an imaginary bow and arrow.
Yeah. With a controller.
Yeah. This is it for you. Like, life is on a down slant from this point forward.
Like, if you make that shot, they should just automatically give you the platinum.
Yeah.
For that, or all achievements, depending on what game you're playing it on. But yeah.
Todd Howard will give you a blowy. A just friend's blowy.
Oh my god, it's true. That's how this game became so good and popular.
So anything you guys want to say before we wrap it up?
Barbie's Dreamland Game of the Year.
Barbie's Dreamland Game of the Year.
Yes, sir.
I think that's it.
Have a good week coming up and stay safe.
Woo-hoo!
Game of the Year.